We now begin a whole Masechta. This is Maseches Nazir, and this is the introduction. So, the idea of the Nazir, which doesn't translate in English, just Nazirite, is a person who opts to refrain from certain specific things in order to achieve some kind of, let's call it temporary spiritual elevation. And the specific things, in short, are to not become exposed to tumas meis, become tumei meis, exposed to a dead corpse, to not drink wine or anything else that comes from a grapevine, and to not cut his hair on top of his head. Those are the base, the gist of the Nazir. And the way that the Mefarshim essentially all learn it is that he's doing this in order to detach himself from the physical world and his, let's say, his aesthetic interests or his, you know, indulgent interests of drinking wine and so on, growing his hair, and exposing himself to tumah, and then to focus on some kind of spiritual elevation. The way the Rambam learns it, it's an attempt to sort of rebalance his life priorities and get back to the middle path, which the Rambam extols elsewhere and throughout the Hilchos Deos, etc. Now, the idea of the technical point of Nazirus is that it is really a subset of Nedarim, which is why it comes after Maseches Nedarim, which is had. And the Pasuk itself says that a person who wants to become a Nazir is Lindor Neder Nazir Lahazir Lashem. He takes upon himself a neder, a formal vow, to vow to become a Nazir to Hashem. The word Naziros, which would mean something like to, like referring to like him refraining from these things, actually many Mefarshim learn alludes to the word Nezer, which is a Nezer, is a crown. So he's sort of crowned, at least temporarily, with this heightened spiritual status, if you will, as much as he's refraining from certain things that are in the physical world. So the beginning of our Masechta really will start about the basics of the technicalities of effecting Nazirus, and that really will reflect the same kind of thing as Nedarim, because really it's a kind of nether. But Nazirus in and of itself is like quite a big topic. Pretty remarkably, the mitzvahs that revolve around the Nazir actually total 8 mitzvahs lo asaseh and 2 mitzvahs asaseh, so that's 10 mitzvahs in total. That's in addition to the 2 basic mitzvahs that apply to any nether that we just had from Nedarim, which is the mitzvahs asaseh, to do whatever you say you're going to do, and lo yachel devaro, not to profane your words, the lav. So that, in addition to the 10 that are peculiar to Nazirus, there's 2 more, for a total of 12, that are common to any generic neder. So those 10 mitzvahs that the Nazir has, so the 8 mitzvahs asaseh, are, first of all, to not cut his hair. Again, we're talking about the hair on the top of his head, not his beard. It could be a her, by the way, her head or her head or hair, but it's on the top of the head, not a woman shaving her legs or a man shaving his beard, etc. Second of all, not to drink wine. Now, the pasuk itself, by the way, if you read it, it says that the nazir is, it says, miyayin v'shechar yazir. He has to refrain from wine and shechar. Shechar, essentially in Kol Torah Kula, refers to other intoxicating beverages other than wine, like whiskey or beer, let's say. But in the context of the Nazir, it's not the case. Shechar is understood to be some kind of intoxicating wine or aged wine. But the point is, it's just wine. So there's not a problem with a Nazir drinking beer or whiskey, etc. But in addition to not drinking wine, he can't eat grapes. He can't eat raisins. He can't eat grape seeds, the chartzanim they're called. And he can't eat the zagim, the skins of the grapes. Okay? So a total of 5 things he can't consume from the grapevine. And then he also, in addition to that, he can't become tamei with exposing himself to tamei mace. And nor can he enter an ohel mace. Remember, for the tumah of a mace to transfer, it can happen through the more generic ways of maga and masa, direct contact or bearing its weight. But in addition, there's another mechanism called ohel, which is absolutely unique to conveying tumah of a mace, as opposed to, let's say, like a zav or a nevela or something. And ohel comes in 3 guises. So in the context of a nazir, the nazir could, like, say, walk over the corpse, or the corpse could pass over the Nazir. Those would be two ways of Ohel. And the third is that both the corpse and the Nazir are under the same common roof. So any of those three versions of Ohel are Asur and Isur Doraisa. But again, it's just Tumas Mace. There's no restriction of a Nazir becoming Tame from, say, touching a dead dog, which is an Avela, or a Sheretz, or a Metzora, etc. Okay, so those are the eight Lavin. In addition, there are two mitzvahs ase, which is first of all to grow his hair out, and the second is to, it's like a combination of shaving his hair when the end of his period arrives, we'll explain more about that in a moment, and to bring the karbanos that he needs to bring at the conclusion of his Nazir's process, also a bit involved, and we'll save that for a moment. So those are the 10 mitzvahs of the Nazir. Now, let's talk about the general restrictions for a moment again. So first of all, in terms of the first category of restrictions from grapes, it's all grape products, including wine, but even, you know, let's say grape juice that's not alcoholic, certainly is still forbidden. Second of all, he can't shave the hair in his head. It's not just shaving, it's any kind of hair removal. So that would mean with the scissors, plugging out with his fingers. There's no shear, even a single hair would be a problem. It carries with it the penalty of malchus, just like the drinking of the wine, etc. does. But again, note, it's only on his head, not on his, let's say, beard or underarms or legs or whatever the story is. Now, those two, if he does drink wine or he does shave his hair, they don't necessarily reset his clock of his Nazirus. I'll explain more in a minute about the hair, but the point is, he did a lav, he broke his vow, but he still is bound by it till the end. In contrast, Tumas Mace, he's not allowed to become exposed to corpse Tuma. If he does, so sometimes it'll actually reset his clock, and sometimes just it puts his clock on hold until he becomes Tahor again. More about that in the Masechta. But the point is, certainly while he's Tame, that doesn't count towards his Nazirus period. And in many events, if he becomes Tame, even if it's against his circumstances beyond his control or an accident, whatever it is, still he has to restart the clock, starting his Nazirus all over again. And also, he'll have to sort of reshave his hair and restart. So let's talk about the shavings. Let's talk about the time periods. So in terms of and if he did it on purpose with Mazid, with a witnesses and warning, also he'd get Malchus for becoming Tame as well. Tumas Mace. Now, in terms of the time period, the Torah is very careful not to give any kind of time frame for how long a Nazir is to conduct himself in that way. And that means, really, it's up to the Nazir's discretion. He could make it be for 1 year or 10 years, or a month, whatever he wants, provided that there's a minimum of 30 days. So if a Nazir, he can't take on Nazirus for less than 30 days. And if he doesn't specify how long his Nazirus is, then it will be specifically for 30 days. Okay, so that's like the baseline, the base case of how long Nazirus is. When he finishes his Nazirus period, whatever he prescribed for himself, so then he'll have to do what's called the Tiglachas Tahara, the shaving of his hair that's done to repurify him and to end his Nazir's process. The restrictions that he has to observe while he's a Nazir will continue until he does the Tiglachas Tahara. So if he has to, you know, wait, you know, to get back to Yerushalayim to do the shaving and process, then his restrictions will continue on. Or Bizman Hazeh. Nowadays, if a person would take on to be a Nazir, since he has no way to go to the Beis Mikdash and resolve the last steps, he'll be essentially a Nazir forever, effectively, or until the Beis Mikdash is built and the facilities are there for him to conclude his Nazir's process, which is why it's certainly not appropriate for a person to become a Nazir today. At all events, when he does get that process, they shave his hair, and that's a mitzvah to itself. It needs to be a shaving of 30 days worth of hair. So that would mean that although if a person shaves his hair, that doesn't restart his clock. That is true, but he can't do the Tiglachas Tahara until he has 30 days of hair growth again. So that means if a guy took on to be a Nazir, and then right before his concluding his Nazirus, whether it's after 30 days or 30 years, if, let's say, you know, his roommate plays a trick on him, and while he's sleeping, they shave his hair, So then he can't do the Tiglachas Tahara. He'll have to wait 30 more days to get a new head of hair for shaving. So the din will be, he has to have at least most of the hair on his head to be 30 days worth of growth in order to do this Tiglachas Tahara. Okay? Now there's also the Tiglachas Tumah. That's the shaving that he does if he became exposed to Tumas Meis, corpse Tumah, and that's sort of like when you reset the clock and start again. Okay? The conditions when that's required are a little more involved. I'll save that for later. But all events, in addition to the shaving of his head, he, and by the way, don't get confused, the Mitzora, which has nothing to do with this whatsoever, has to shave his whole body, including his eyebrows and his everything else, all his body hair, at the conclusion of his process of Tzora'as, of being a Mitzora. That has nothing to do with this whatsoever. The Nazir, we're only focused on his hair on the top of his head, and that's true both in terms of what he can and can't cut during his Nazir's period, as well as what he gets cut at the end of his Naziris, whether it's Tiglachas Tahara to end it all, or to restart the clock, if you will, with Tiglachas Tumah. So, in addition to shaving his hair, he also has to bring korbanos. Actually, three different kinds of korbanos brought. It's a little involved. There's some birds, and also there's both an asham and a chatas. Okay, now the chatas is a sin offering, and there is a question like why he's bringing a sin offering. What is his sin? What's his crime? Okay, so now the most common explanation given, I think, which was based on a Gemara, it's actually a Gemara both in the Nazir Daf Dalet as well as in the Darim Daf Yud Amud Aleph. Over there, Elazar Kapar says that, you know, he has sinned against himself, really, because kind of like how I explained back in the Darim, Hashem gave us certain things that were restricted from, but the world, by and large, was given to Adam to enjoy responsibly and, you know, in the framework of the Torah. And to add extra restrictions and restrict oneself from drinking wine, etc., is actually like sinning against himself because he's depriving himself when Hashem didn't want him deprived. So that's sort of like a sin against himself. Maybe sometimes a necessary move. There's quite a famous Gemara there, and that it says that Shimon HaTzadik, he never ate from the ashram of a Nazir except once, when there was a certain person who, like Narcissus story, like he fell in love with his, he looked at his reflection, he was very, thought how beautiful he was, and he thought the Yetzirah was getting better of him, so he says, no, I'm cutting it all off, I'm becoming a Nazir, I'm to sort of fight his Yetzirah. So that's the kind of framework in which I think the standard explanation is that that's when it's appropriate to become a Nazir, when you see the sota bilkukula, you see what wine can do to a person, or you think your hair is, you know, whatever, you fall in love with your physical involvement with yourself and so on, and therefore you want to sort of take a step back and rededicate it to yourself, to yourself, to Hashem and His Torah, to put on the crown, so to speak, the Nezer of Naziris, and sort of to rebalance your life as sort of a temporary act. And although it has its downside, you're sort of sinning against yourself, if you will, but it's like a Yerida del Torah Chali, if you want to call it, or whatever, it's some sort of rebalancing, which is necessary. Worth noting is that the Ramban on Chumash understands that his sin is actually that he, to the contrary, like being a Nazir is like a step up, it's an elevated spiritual status, and his sin is that he's coming off of that, I'll call it, pedestal he put himself on, where he sort of belongs in an ideal situation that should stay forever. So why is he coming down? And that's his sin, that he didn't stick in that state for perpetuity. So you see there is an approach in the Rishonim, not like the more famous, if you will, that indeed the Nazir is doing a great thing. He is wearing a crown of glory, and it's actually on some level a shame that he's not staying that way forever, which would be like, I'll call it in theory, like an ideal situation, at least according to the Ramban, how the Ramban learns. Okay. At all events, that's the big picture of how Naziris works, and why a person might want to do it, and how the Torah to relate to it. But the details we follow now in the Masechta, and I'm not going to read the Pesukim inside. You can see them in Bamidbar, and that's really all of Naziris is really in Bamidbar there, and also in Perek Vav, the sixth chapter. Now we begin our Masechta in earnest, which will start really the same way that Masechta Nedarim began, with Kinuyim and Yadus.